If you want music, come here. This is the place.
Voilà. Scrimminger, depuis 15 ans, vous vivez en France et vous parlez pas français.
Parlez petit français.
C'est quoi petit français?
Petit, oui.
5 ans seulement?
My brother. My brother had a big fight with King Kong.
You have beautiful Merci. Rings.
Hmm?
You have beautiful rings.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, I work with Diablo, the devil. Uh-huh. And he tells me what to do, mystery, metaphysics, occult science, voodoo, black African magic, American magic.
Why? Are you afraid from something?
No. But I want to keep the bad spirits away from me because they've been after me since the days of Moses and Nero.
Mm.
See, they found out that I was the one who fiddled while Rome burned. Oh, my God, I don't have no choice.
No.
I have no choice.
Ah, yeah, another one.
Yeah, also, but... Oops, okay.
Which one? Where do you live in Levallois now?
I live in Levallois.
Why?
Why? Because I prefer Levallois, I prefer France to America.
Yes?
I don't like America, so I stay in France.
Because the French people love you more than the American people?
Well, let me put it to you. If the French people like you, you know it. If they don't like you, you know it also. In America, they don't care what you do or who you are, so long as you got money. Money talks. In France, the individual, the person talks. That's important.
But you were very happy in Honolulu. You lived in Honolulu.
Oh, Honolulu was the best part, yes. Yeah. But I had to leave Honolulu.
Yeah, why?
I had to leave Honolulu because I damn near got killed in Honolulu.
Yeah, why?
A woman tried to cut my heart out of my body.
An actress?
No, she wasn't no actress. She was a young girl I bought from Miami, Florida, and I took her to Honolulu. And she got crazy messing with the Mahus. You know what Mahus is?
No.
Mahus is people who want to be ACDC, homosexual lesbians. She was living with lesbians. She couldn't make up her mind if she wanted me or lesbian. So when she sent the lesbians to beat me up or kill me, and I'm talking about Samoan women that have to stoop down to come through that door. They're big taxi cab drivers. They come, you're Jay Hawkins, boom, boom. Oh, mercy, mercy. So I says, okay, I leave.
Where do you go out at night in Paris?
Nowhere. I stay home with my woman and my baby.
How old is your baby?
My baby is 3 years old.
3 years old?
Voila.
And how old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way. Next July, 1999, I will be 70. That makes me 69.
Yeah, you look very young.
Merci beaucoup, merci pour tout, merci à vous.
For somebody who did the war.
Well, I mean, the war didn't hurt everybody. Lassie was in the war. Look at Lassie. He's still a nice shin.
We could not believe that a black man had got on a white radio station in Cleveland, Ohio. So a bunch of us got together on the ground and thanked this dude for getting the job of playing black music on a radio station. And come to find out, it was this white guy with the black soul. We thanked him anyhow. He said, with any records you make, you bring them to me. No matter where I'm at, I'll play them. That man kept his word.
Screamin' Jay made a hit record in 1956 called I Put a Spell on You, and he created a flamboyant stage character in the spirit of that song. The most famous gimmick of Hawkins' bizarre stage act, he says he owes again to Alan Freed, who arrived at a show he was promoting with a new prop for Jay, a coffin.
He says, now I want you to come out that coffin when the curtains open while the lotoscope is on, and it would look like you're moving a million miles an hour. He says, I guarantee you the people would tear the seats out of the floor, which they did do. Now, I told him, I said, I won't do it. Black people don't get in that until they're dead. And that way they don't have to worry about getting out. He says, Jay, you guys, I said, forget it. I've done you a lot of favors. I don't owe you nothing. I'll do anything you want, but I won't get in that coffin. So I went back to the dressing room. He followed me all the way up to the dressing room. He says, you will get in the coffin. And he pulled out a big wad of $100 bills. Jay, you got to. You're going to. I said, you can't buy me. But he kept on. I kept watching. I didn't want to miss nothing. And I'd never seen $1,000. And when he got to $2,000, I got weak. I said, well, I'll try it once, you know.
I put a spell on you.
The entrance from the coffin became a staple of Jay's act, a show he still performs effectively in nightclubs worldwide.
I'm still making a living, I'm still making money, and I'm still doing what I love best, to get up on that stage and act like a stark raving idiot. It's make-believe, but most people think there really is something wrong with me, and I guess deep down in my heart, John, maybe I am crazy. But if that's the only way, if being like this enables me to go to the bank, I'm going to stay this way.
All right, peace, y'all. Peace, peace, peace. So, in this video, we're going to be talking about Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Now, Screamin' Jay Hawkins paved the way for a lot of rock and roll artists. All right. And also, you know, he kind of patterned his style to almost like Robert Johnson with as far as we're putting like the scary tactics in the music. You know what I'm saying? They called it the shellac value back in the day. All right, but now we know it as the shock value. And Screamin' Jay Hawkins kind of like paved the way, like I said, for a lot of rock and roll artists with his occultic antics, right? Now, Screamin' Jay was born July 18th, 1929 in Cleveland, Ohio, all right? He was put up for adoption at the age of 18 months. And shortly after, he was raised by the Blackfoot Confederacy. So, pretty much raised on the reservations by the Nasatapi Indians. All right. Now, he found an interest at a young age for music when he learned to play guitar and piano by the age of 10. He would begin to take up music lessons from a local mentor around the reservations, all right? And this person would coach him on how to play certain instruments and things like that, but he was really focused on becoming an opera singer. That's what he really wanted to do, was be an opera singer, but it didn't work out that way, all right? Now, by the age of 13, he served in the U.S. Army, which is crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't imagine a 13-year-old today in the Army, right? But he enrolled with a forged birth certificate. While in the Army, he also enlisted in the Air Force as well and was discharged like 10 years later. So by the time he was 23, he was discharged from the Army. Now, while in the Army, he learned how to box very well and became Alaska's middleweight champion. All right. Now, this is where it's like, you know, he had skills. You get what I'm saying? I can't front. He had skills, because in order for him to join the Army at 13, play instruments and know how to box, you know what I'm saying? He had skills. Now, I won't say, because it didn't really give too much information, but maybe he, you know, got involved in some occultic stuff at a younger age. You know what I'm saying? Back then, that stuff was a lot of taboo to talk about, but it was always spoken in southern areas, right? They would always talk about it. Now, in 1951, he linked up with guitarist Tiny Grimes and was featured on some of his songs, all right? Now, Tiny Grimes was in Philadelphia, I believe. I think he was a guitarist from Philadelphia, and he was real popular around that time on the East Coast. Now, once Screamin' Jay got a taste of the music business, he recorded his first single, Why Did You Waste My Time, alongside with Tiny Grimes, all right? And, you know, this kind of gave him leeway to start his own solo career, all right? Now, by 1956, Screamin' Jay Hawkins recorded the famous song we all know as I Put a Spell on You, which hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs. Now, like I said, this shaped rock and roll's way of doing music. You get what I'm saying? This song kind of like shaped rock and roll, and a lot of rock and roll artists kind of patterned their way, their style of music to a Screamin' Jay Hawkins song, I Put a Spell on You. Not because it was scary, but just off the strength that it had that same monotone, right?
When I done it in 54, I said, and I've lost track, them, the Trackers, Who, Animals, Eric Burton, Nick Cave,
so you became,
Nick Tosh.
You became very rich after that.
Well, I don't know about rich. I just know that I'm satisfied. I'm happy.
Now, as you can see, this song was sampled over 1,000 times by many different artists. Like, they even play this song in Burger King commercials and stuff like that. A lot of rappers have sampled this music, his song. So he gets royalty. Well, he was getting royalties from recording this track. All right. Now, the NAACP got involved, all right, being that they were worried the song would give off a negative light towards African Americans. So they started the protest, all right, which is crazy, but they started the protest against the song. When I listen to the song, it doesn't give off a sexual connotation, right? But I guess the original version did, and this is where they wanted to change it, so they kind of remade the song. But the fact that he didn't even remember making this song, you know, being drunk and in the studio, and, you know, it kind of like, you know, gave them a different reason to ban it, if that was the case. Now, he met a guy, right, a disc jockey, actually, by the name of Alan Freed. And this is where I think it gets kind of weird, because Alan Freed, like I said, who was a radio disc jockey, had asked Screamin' Jay to emerge from a coffin for $300, all right? And Screamin' Jay, you know, felt like, yo, you know, black people, we don't do that type of stuff. We don't climb up out of no caskets. And he's right. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that we do. I mean, I can't speak for all, but that ain't something that we do. But then you got to think about it, right? Like, you have a lot of organizations out there that put this whole casket thing in their what do you call it? Their rituals or whatever, right? So for him to, you know, go out there and do this casket thing, it was kind of like, you know, weird to me. But he said he didn't want to do it, and then he turned around and did it for like $2,000. So from 1962 up until 1971, Screamin' Jay moved to Hawaii, where it was said that he had about 57 to 75 children, and in the process of doing that, he was stabbed. Now, there's stories out there of him putting together a family reunion, and in this family reunion, it was supposed to be all of his children that came together, but, you know what I'm saying, nobody really, you know, could get the further information on that. But apparently all of his children came, you know, and they said it was a disaster. That's what I read. It was like the family reunion was a disaster. Now, in February 12, 2000, Screamin' Jay died from an aneurysm. All right. He died at the age of 70. All right. Now, I say this. He wasn't really a popular artist, but he made a name for himself and shaped the whole goth antics, like I said, in rock and roll. Then you got to also remember with him saying, like, you know, this whole voodoo thing or scary antics or putting spells on people was like a gimmick. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't real to him. But then also in the same clip, he would tell you, you know, he messes with the devil. So I don't know if that was just a way for him to keep his stuff secret, but, you know, it was just crazy to me. But I don't know too many of Screamin' Jay Hawkins songs, but I do know this guy was creepy. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they was afraid to even listen to him because of the way he looked. You know what I'm saying? But it was taboo, man. So Yeah, man. So like I said, he kind of like shaped the way for a lot of rock and roll artists, man. But I'm going to get to some more videos for y'all. I got some fire stuff coming to y'all, man. We going to talk about it. All right. Peace.